Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Having worked our way exegetically all through the passage on divorce in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I have made a few final summarizing statements and tried to answer a few of the questions that are raised by this passage as a conclusion to our study. And after this, today, which will probably be the last broadcast on the subject, we'll move on in the chapter to other issues. But quickly, what we see is that in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul adds a second biblically valid reason for divorce and remarriage. Previously, Christ gave one reason, one valid condition for divorce, namely adultery. And when that happens, then a person is legitimately allowed to get a divorce and to remarry. Christ made that clear. Paul adds a second reason, and that is desertion by an unbelieving spouse. And it has to be an unbelieving spouse. The Christian is not given permission to initiate a divorce, but if he or she is divorced by an unbelieving spouse, then they are free to remarry. They are not under bondage in such cases. It's clear that, biblically speaking, on the one hand, divorce is a very serious issue, not to be taken lightly. But on the other hand, there are provisions, gracious provisions, for those situations where divorce occurs and believers have remedies. But that doesn't mean that any and every situation constitutes a biblically valid grounds for divorce. It doesn't. I don't have time to go through all of that again, but we simply need to be faithful to what the Scripture teaches us. But now we'll go on to the final questions on this Friday, October 8. Thankful that there are some of you who help us financially to enable us to teach on this station. Yesterday, we looked at a couple of questions. Are remarried divorcees living in adultery? And the answer is no. They may have committed adultery, but that's different from living in adultery, so the answer is no. And we talked about what do I do about an unbiblical divorce that has been previously exercised and now can't go back. The answer is acknowledge it as sin, confess it to the Lord, accept His forgiveness, and go on. Make your present marriage as Christ-honoring as possible. Make it a model for true Christian love. But now, here's something else I want to deal with, and that is this passage highlights the need for what I will call improved churchmanship. And what do I mean by that? Well, you remember, Paul has made two different categories for his questions about divorce, his instructions about divorce. One set of instructions for Christians, where both are Christians, and another set of instructions for a mixed marriage, where one is a Christian and one is not. But what we have today are so many instances where two people profess to be Christians, but there's very little evidence that one and sometimes both, but in most cases, what I'm talking about now is what when you have a person who gives every evidence of being a true Christian, married to somebody who professes to be a Christian but doesn't act like one, raises great questions about the validity of their Christian profession. What about that? What are you dealing with? Are you dealing with a marriage of two Christians according to their profession? Are you dealing with a mixed marriage, someone who is a Christian married to an unbeliever? It's not clear, is it? It's very muddied, and that's why I say this highlights the needs for improved churchmanship. We often deal with unclear situations because that's where we are today. We have muddied the waters tremendously. But the question is, how do you know if your partner is truly a believer, if they've truly been born again? Do you accept a profession of faith at face value? Many of us are prone to do that, are inclined to do that, certainly want to do that, but is that wise? Do you decide about your believer, your spouse's profession of faith, do you decide based upon your own subjective opinion? Is that the way to go about it? Well, they say they're a Christian, but I don't think they are. Therefore, I've got, that puts me into the mixed marriage category, and that gives me a different situation. In fact, what I've run into is something like this. My spouse claims to be a Christian, but I don't think they really are. Therefore, I've got a right to divorce them. No, you don't, because if you claim to be a believer, the scripture is clear, even in the mixed marriage, the believer does not have scriptural warrant to initiate a divorce. It has to be the unbeliever. If the professing believer, your spouse, initiates a divorce, then they're acting like an unbeliever. And if they divorce you, then you are, I would presume, free to remarry. I don't know if they're not willing to follow the instructions that for believers that neither of them is to initiate a divorce, and if separation occurs, they remain unmarried or be reconciled. If your spouse divorces you and goes on and remarries, then the marriage is broken and you're free to remarry. But don't think you can pronounce your spouse a non-Christian and then you can initiate the divorce and you can do this and you can do that because your spouse isn't really a Christian. And what really is the problem in so much of this is that the church has been left out of the equation. That's why I say we need improved churchmanship. You need the church to help clarify this matter. Is my partner a believer? Well, are they a member of the church? Presumably, the church that you're a member of. Are you members together of the same church? Then go to your church leaders for help. Let them help you with this. Let them deal with the marriage problems. Let them deal with the evidences that this professing believer may not truly be a believer. This may take time, but the honor of Christ and the spiritual welfare of everybody involved is certainly worth it. We need to get back to better churchmanship. And it's our failure to take the church seriously and to take church membership seriously that has, in part, got us into this mess where we've got all kinds of professing believers who don't really qualify to be considered believers, but we don't know what to do with them. We really don't. If we had a higher level of churchmanship, we would know what to do with them. Let me give you an example. A wife leaves her husband because of physical abuse. If her husband is accountable to the church should and surely will become involved. If he is not, I think she has every valid reason to assume he is not a believer. He claims to be a believer, but he will not be accountable to the church. He's not a church member. Got an awful lot of those folks today, insisting that they are Christians, but also insisting that they have no responsibility to become a member of and accountable to a local church. From a biblical standpoint, such a person by the church should be considered an unbeliever. That's right. And when the church makes that determination, it's not claiming to know the heart of the person. It's just claiming to act according to the circumstances which it has been presented with. And a person who professes to be a Christian but will not become an active, accountable member of a local church should be considered an unbeliever by the church. That would certainly simplify things, wouldn't it? But that's a tough one. There aren't very many people who want to go down that road today, but that's part of the problem. That's one reason why Christianity is so weak in our day. Well, another thing this indicates is a need for greater wisdom for Christian singles. It is so important that you not become unequally yoked. How do you know if the person that you are considering married is a true believer? They profess to be a believer, but how can you tell if they've truly been born again? Well, again, there's no way that you can look into another person's heart, but this matter of being active and accountable to a local church is a biggie. If they are not, then there's every reason to question the validity of their profession of faith. If that person is active and accountable in a local church, I think you can probably assume that he or she is indeed a true believer. If that person is not active and accountable to a local church, I think you have every reason, I know you have every reason to assume that he or she is not a true believer. I know. That really goes against the grain. That goes against so much of what we have erroneously imbibed and how we have operated in our day. But it's time for us to recognize that there are an awful lot of things in what is considered normal Christianity today that are not healthy. They are not biblical. They are contributing to the weakness of Christianity in America. They are contributing to the weakness of America overall today because of all of these people who claim to be Christians but give no evidence that they truly are. So, yes, I realize that seems to be a little bit afield, the question of divorce, but I think it comes in when we start dealing with some of these issues. What am I dealing with in my marriage? Am I married to a believer or am I not? Is this a Christian marriage or is this a mixed marriage? These are important questions. What am I dealing with this person who is showing an interest in me as a potential mate? Am I dealing with a genuine born-again believer? They claim to be. But are they, and how can I tell? These are very, very, very important questions, and they do very much play into what happens next in this issue of marriage and divorce. Well, that's it. I'm done with the subject of divorce, and Monday we'll move on. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.